No, he didn't slam you. He didn't bump you. He didn't nudge you. He rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Welcome, everyone, to Pit Pass USA. I'm Larry Henry. As we wind our way to 2010 and a new racing season, Pit Pass USA continues our look back on this past year. On this Best of Pit Pass USA, you'll hear conversations with two-time Indianapolis 500 winner, Al Unser Jr., GT2 Corvette C6R driver Johnny O'Connell, and the Keselowski brothers, Brian, who runs in the Nationwide Series, and younger brother Brad, who just finished his second season also in that series, driving for Dale Earnhardt Jr., and is now ready to take on the challenge of Sprint Cup, driving for Roger Penske. We start tonight with my conversation with Brad Keselowski, just before the 2009 season began at Daytona in February, as I congratulated him on Ray Bestos Rookie of the Year in the 2008 Nationwide Series.
Yeah, it sure was a great year. We accomplished many things to get my first win in the Nationwide Series and make my first cup start for Hendrick Motorsports. A lot of great things happened this year, and looking forward to a great 2009.
What was last year like for you? I mean, the full-time ride finally, after you kind of had the trial at the end of the previous year, you got signed up before the season ended, and then had the full year in the 88 Navy car last year.
I mean, just a spectacular season to get that opportunity to drive for a team as established as Junior Motorsports has become over the last year, to have a crew chief like Tony Urey Sr. leading the group, a lot of experience. He's won two championships as a crew chief on the Nationwide side, and all those things are just building for more and more momentum, and part of a great season that I think it's going to be inspiring for 2009 to get the job done.
Considering that you drove for your dad and mom when you were running in the truck series of the past at NASCAR, did that kind of help fitting in with Tony Urey Sr.? I mean, it was almost like that father-son with him being in the position he is that you had with your dad and mom when you were racing the family truck.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I think I have a very similar relationship to Tony Urey Sr. as what I have with my family. So I see that for sure, and I think that helps. It helps me feel comfortable in the situation, and I do feel comfortable. I feel like this is our year.
What did you learn last year running the entire Nationwide Series from the beginning to end? How did Brad Keselowski maybe change as a race car driver, or did you?
I think confidence is the biggest thing that you don't really learn, you just gain. I think that was probably the biggest change in myself that I saw by the end of the year. And I feel like I'm getting stronger and stronger with each race because of that. You get to a point where you feel like you should be running up front. And actually, that goes a long way mentally to how you perform. So I think that's a big piece. And then the confidence that you have, not only it goes to your teammates and it goes through your team members and it motivates them. And you get a better product from it. You get a better race car and things like that.
Well, when you look at last year, the only two guys who beat you in the standings were both Cup regulars. One drives for Roush Fenway, and the other drives for Richard Childress. And there you are. You're the full-time Nationwide guy that's right there. If the Cup guys aren't there running every week, you're the Nationwide champion.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. They're tough competitors, those Cup drivers, and they're going to be tough to beat this year. We know what we got to beat. We got to beat Kyle and Carl, Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards for the championship. It's not going to be an easy task at all, but I think we're up to it. I think we've got a group that can get that done, and I'm confident in them.
Time with Brad Keselowski here on Pit Pass USA. And Brad, do you ever pinch yourself? I was going through stuff, and I actually sent a photo to your PR person of you sitting in the motorhome at Michigan International Speedway a couple of years back with you and your brother Brian and your mom and dad, and we were actually recording an interview, and you were running a family truck at the time, and here you are running in NASCAR, the most popular driver in the Nationwide Series, going to run seven Cup races this year. Do you just kind of pinch yourself and what happened? I mean, it all just kind of happened and fell into place for you.
Yeah, every day. Yeah, it's truly a blessing to be here to have the team members I have and to have the partners I have sponsorship wise with the GoDaddy and Unilever and those companies, Delphi out of Michigan. They're just great partners, and then they have the support of the fans to win the most popular driver award. That meant a lot to me, and certainly that was a big wake up call in my eyes to know, how fortunate I am to be here.
How much has your life changed, though? As before we started this interview, you were talking about, I got to do this, I got to do that, I'm running here, I'm talking to this person, or I'm going to this group, or I've got this business thing to do. I know, talking with your business manager the other day, I think you were shooting some GoDaddy commercials and this, that, and the other. I mean, it seems like racing is the least of what you may have to do these days.
Yeah, we drive the race cars for free. That's kind of how I like to put it. The rest is the work. So, it's been pretty busy, pretty hectic here. Today is our team luncheon here at Junior Motorsports, which gets us kicked off for the season at Daytona, which we're very excited about. And, your normal off-season scramble to get everything ready, new ideas, new paint schemes, new fire suits, and new sponsors. So trying to keep everyone happy is a constant task.
Has that been your biggest adjustment, doing all the corporate side, the sponsorship side of it, and there's so much of it and so much asked of you to do?
That's part of the adjustment process for sure. I don't know if I'd say if it was the biggest, but it certainly is a challenge, and it's never ending.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you talk to everybody, and they're running here, there, and yon, and even when you get to the racetrack, you've got to go to hospitality and talk to the sponsors there, and then they're in the garage area. And as most of the drivers talk about, especially on the Cup side, their moment when they get to relax is when they're actually strapped into the race car.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. When you're in the race car, it's just you, that car, and the 42 other competitors, and it's really your best time to just focus and relax.
Brad, as we get set to go to Daytona, what's the thought process and the preparation getting ready to head to Daytona to start with a big race like this? And none of the testing, although I guess really, since it is a restrictor plate and it's usually at Daytona, you got what you brought with you when you hit the racetrack.
Yeah, it's we're not sure what we're going to have, I can tell you that, with the testing policy. But, it is what it is. It's the same for everyone, and we're just going to have to deal with it.
Who do you look at? Carl Edwards, definitely. You got to figure he's someone you've got to contend with for the title. You take a look at what he did at the end of the season to put the pressure on Clint Bowyer to have a chance to take the nationwide title away. That he is the main obstacle. Are there other guys that you see in the nationwide series in 2009?
Yeah, I think Carl Edwards is for certain the prime target there. I think Kyle Busch, I mean, obviously won a lot of races. He's a very talented driver. He's going to be tough to beat. And then you got, the nationwide-only guys like Mike Bliss ran really good towards the end of the year. I think he'll be a strong competitor as well.
Do you look at someone like a Brendan Gaughan who's moving into the nationwide series? I mean, he's had all those years in the truck series as a possibility that could be maybe surprise some people, although he's well-known?
Sure, Brendan's a very, very competitive driver. I think the whole rookie class in general in the nationwide series, I'm very impressed by it. Brendan filed for Rookie of the Year. Justin Allgaier, very talented driver out of the Midwest. He's plenty capable of pulling some surprises. And Michael Annette, all very talented drivers that I think could win on any given weekend.
One of the things that's going to happen in 2009, you're going to get a chance to run 7 NASCAR Sprint Cup races. And I know the one you're excited about is at Michigan International Speedway, your home racetrack.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. That's a dream come true to get to race in front of my family and friends in my home state. That means a lot to me, and I just can't wait to get the season started, and Michigan's one of many great races.
Talking about your home, how about this Brad Keselowski Racing? I was talking with Rob Brent about a week ago, and I guess he's doing some driving for you on that side?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to partner with Rob and run some races last year on the ARCA side and a few on the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, or now the Camping World Series, and had a great time with that. Really enjoy that. I enjoy the camaraderie that comes from the team ownership end, much like Dale does with the nationwide team. It's cool to see that and to be a part of it, and it's certainly a different feeling watching it on TV, knowing that it's your car or truck that's racing on that given day. So it's a good experience.
What I find interesting is Rob's about the same age you are, yet you're his car owner, which just to me seems a little strange.
Yeah, Rob's just 1 or 2 years younger than me, but things have been they've been going very well for me as of late, and I've been fortunate to be in the shoes that I'm meant to be able to do that.
He also tells me that when you're up here and you happen to go over to the indoor karting facility that's in town, Kart to Kart, that he's still the better driver and holds the track record. Is that true?
He's pretty fast. Yeah, he's definitely got the cart end down. I never was much into the carts, but he's pretty good at it.
Yeah, well, I just find that great that you're giving him a go. And, of course, he's from just you're Rochester Hills. He's Sterling Heights. So it's the two cities are next to next for those right beside of each other, those people that don't know really the state of Michigan and lay it out around the Metro Detroit area. The season, I know you're chomping at the bit to get to Daytona. Do you wish you were running the first weekend and running a cup car and doing all the stuff and the Bud shootout and things like that?
Yeah, it's certainly an advantage any time you can run the cup cars. It slows everything down for you. It makes decisions easier to make on and off the racetrack, believe it or not. But, you know, I'm excited about the opportunities I have, and I have plenty of opportunities, and, you know, it's just a responsibility of ours to make the most of them.
I think your brother Brian is going to be trying to qualify in the Nationwide Series down at Daytona. I talking with him about a week ago, I asked him, I said, do you ever get a little jealous of your brother? He said, absolutely. Absolutely I do. He's got it going. And I know he's talked about taking over the whole K Automotive thing. He's working that out and running two cars. Talking with him, I mean, he really seems to be into this and owning the team and building it up and racing cars. What's it like to watch your brother know that you know, here's a guy that's he's got to get there and he's got to qualify on speed week in, week out and do that, and you want to pull for him every time he's at the racetrack?
Well, I tell you, I get nervous watching, that's for sure. That hasn't changed at all from the first time I watched my brother. So it is an interesting experience. You know, I'm always making sure that as soon as I get out of my car after qualifying that I get to watch my brother's attempt. So you know, I'm sure I'll be doing that again at Daytona, but it's very, very nerve-wracking, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And then your mom and dad, I think both are involved with that. I think your mom spots for Brian, right?
Yeah, she does.
And she used to spot for you once upon a time, back when you were running the family truck and all. And I think it's great. And I think that's probably why Dale Earnhardt Jr. And you kind of mesh together. It's the same thing. It's a racing family. You used to run the family truck and knew you had to bring it back in one piece. And mom and dad are there and your brother. And he kind of had that same situation on his side. And then with Tony Urey Sr. and Tony Urey Jr., I always had the feeling that that's kind of why you two mesh together so well.
Yeah, I think we share some of the same core values as a racer. And that does go a long ways for, you know, our thoughts and how we care for each other on this side of the business. So I think that does mean a lot to him. It means a lot to me that he comes from the same background.
Well, I will tell you this, you've got a lot of fans here in Michigan. I was at the Michigan Automobile Racing Fan Club banquet. You couldn't attend. Great video, by the way, that you sent up here that we got to see at the banquet that night. You just as well you didn't miss it. I think we had 8 inches of snow that day trekking over to go to the banquet that night. But everyone really had wanted to say hi to you, enjoyed the video that you sent, and you know you've got thousands upon thousands of fans right here in the state of Michigan who watched you grow up racing here and know your mom and dad and your brother so well, and we all wish you the best of luck at Daytona and all season long, Brad.
Thank you very much. You know, it's an honor to represent the Michigan racing scene there, and looking forward to putting them back in victory lane in 2009.
Brian Keselowski is set to run full-time in 2010 in both the NASCAR Sprint Cup and Nationwide Series for Roger Penske with new crew chief Jay Guy on the Sprint Cup side. Next up, a conversation with Brad's older brother, Brian, who's an owner, driver of the NASCAR Nationwide Series. The Best of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
Tune up your motorsports knowledge. Power Up Motorsports Channel.
The latest business information is made simple with the Voice America Business Network. The professionals in the business world bring you live talk radio shows featuring an array of business topics, strategies for building wealth, sales and marketing, stock trading, investing, and business technology. Voice America Business hosts are professionals in their fields and bring to the airwaves weekly business discussions that offer up-to-date information, advice, and education. The Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business talk.
The Marsh Engle Show. Join the movement to empower yourself with the essentials of feminine power and success, and learn how women around the world are becoming more inspired, more influential, and absolutely amazing. Each week, Marsh sits down for an engaging conversation with women who are boldly committed to living their most amazing life. You'll discover ways to step into your greatest vision, deepen your relationships, and unleash your real creative brilliance. Get ready. It's time to jump into the conversation. That's Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for the Marsh Engle Show on the Voice America Business Network.
Join G. Cobb in the house every week on the Voice America Sports Channel. This show takes you inside the world of sports from one who knows. Gary Cobb is an 11-year NFL veteran who has almost 20 years in sports radio and television. From the locker room to the clubhouse, we'll talk on the inside with the newsmakers on the sports scene. It's always exciting and full of energy. G. Cobb in the house with Gary Cobb and co-host Micah Warren is broadcast live every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Power up your motorsports channel. See it, read it, feel it.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at larryhenry@pitpassusa.com. That's larryhenry@pitpassusa.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
Brad Keselowski is on top of the world right now with his two full-time rides at NASCAR's Top 2 Series. His older brother Brian, though, that's a different story. Brian is trying to not only to continue to race in the NASCAR Nationwide Series as a driver, but also to continue as a team owner. I talked with Brian about his struggles of staying in the racing business and his take on his younger brother's success in August at Michigan International Speedway.
In racing, there's those drivers that you probably know right off the bat. They get all the publicity. They get written about. They're on TV all the time. They're mentioned in the races. And there's other guys out there that are just doing everything they can to make the race each week. And one of those is the older brother, Brad Keselowski, and that's Brian Keselowski. And Brian, I think the last time I talked to you, that was probably we talked with each other in Phoenix back in March. Here we are at MIS. How's things going? You're still at least on the racetrack.
Yeah, absolutely. We're still here every week. That's a battle in itself. Got the 26 car locked back in. Michael McDowell's been driving the last couple weeks. He's going to drive for a few more weeks for us. Had to step back out of the driver's seat for a couple weeks and just kind of reevaluate our whole program, kind of figure it out. And we got to do some stuff to try to make enough money to continue to race without any sponsorship, which we do have a few little sponsors here for MIS, but it's really tough without sponsorship to actually continue to race the cars. So, I have one car that ends up just having a starting part just so it's our sponsor car, you know, and it's a very difficult situation, but so far we're still here. We had a pretty rough month there in June and July, and we worked it all out by the end of July and got back in August and got locked back in, which was really big for us. So we have one locked in car, and this weekend at MIS I got two cars trying to qualify in the show so we can afford to keep running. And as long as I can try, I'm going to try to keep that 26 car on track and actually racing this thing.
Do you think people really understand how tough it is for the lower tier teams that are out here, the one car teams, or the people that are trying to make it each week? I mean, the sweat, the tears, the trying to find money, the scraping that it takes to just show up each week.
Yeah, it's a really hard thing to explain. I mean, at this point, I own my own team. I own all my own cars. I have to work on my cars. I mean, I've been up 1:30 in the morning the last three nights in a row trying to get these things ready. And, it takes a lot of dedication to do this stuff. And people really don't understand that. That's why I had to step out of the driver's seat, because if I'm not there working on the cars and managing the team, then there's nobody there to do it. So there was going to be something I had to eliminate. So for a few weeks, they had to eliminate it. But, it's a really tough thing. It's a hard situation to be in. But, I wouldn't want it any other way, really, at this point. I want to race, and this is what I want to do. This is my life. It's what I've always done. And, if you're not dedicated to it, then you're not going to make this successful. And that's what I'm aiming to do.
Can you be happy being out of the car if that's what you got to do just to have the race team and be at the racetrack?
For a little while. No, I want to drive. I want to drive in the worst way. But I also realize that if I don't pay the bills at the end of the day, then that comes back on me. And there's a lot of people that have really helped us out this year, giving us credit to make this all work, you know. And I don't want to be that guy at the end of the year that everybody says, man, this guy owes me such and such amount of money. I'm not going to be that guy. I want to be at least even at the end of the year. And if I got to step out of the driver's seat to make that happen so so I can make sure that my cars are in the show every week and we can pay the bills at the end of the day, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this happen. But in the end of the day, the only reason I did this is so I could drive. The only reason why I built my own race team and did what I had to do this year is so I can drive, because there's no opportunities for me or a lot of people right now without sponsorship to bring to another team. There's no opportunities for that guy to drive anymore. And I was in that same situation. So basically I just said, well, I'm going to start my own race team, do my own thing, and I'll drive myself. Well, that's great until a certain point when you realize that, man, I'm pretty far behind and I need to get all this stuff back straight again. So I'm not going to be happy not driving. We'll get it back figured out where I can drive again, but I got to do a lot of things first to make that happen.
People don't know what it costs to go do this. Let's just say an engine. Say you got to go get an engine rebuilt or a new engine. What's something like that run you?
Realistically, about $25,000 for a newer engine. I've been buying a good used rebuilt motor, but it's used, and I mean for about $25,000 a motor. And I mean, I can use them depending on what happens to the motor, but I can use them typically 3 to 4 races because of the new engine package rules that we have with the sealed motor rules and the gears and the restrictor plates that we have to run on these nationwide cars. That helps the motor last. So that's probably one of the biggest things that NASCAR has actually done for us to save anything was actually our motor budget. But me, I own my own stuff because to lease a motor, they keep charging you whether you use it once, twice, or 3 times. So I end up buying my own stuff and you never get to buy the best stuff. So that's a little bit difficult, but I mean, you got a tire budget of $10,000 a race for your race car, no matter what, every race. And I mean, you got to pay your guys. And I mean, by the time you're done, you're looking at anywhere in the range of $50,000 to $75,000 a race to race a car. And that's a lot of money. And you can't make that up with one car. So, I mean, you got to do a lot of things to make that happen. And we do everything. We scrimp on everything we can, try to not buy stuff if we don't absolutely have to have it, and bring a second car just to try to make show to make a little bit of money back. So we do absolutely everything we can do to make it back even again. So we've been doing okay, but we need to do better. So that's why I'm out of the car right now.
Well, when you talk about the money and how much it costs each weekend, you could win a race and not even break even.
Absolutely. Some of these big teams, I mean, I know for a fact some of these big teams are spending $200,000 to $250,000 a race. And, I mean, we're spending not even a quarter of that at this point, you know. So, I mean, you racing is not a break-even sport, especially without a sponsor, unless you do a lot of stuff really right to make that a break-even sport. That's why I have to work on my own cars and do all my own things, because if I was sitting at home on the couch all week and then just popped to the racetrack and decided to race, that ain't going to work. I'm going to have to pay somebody to be in my place to work, and that's even more money out the door. So, you know, I do whatever we can. My dad helps, my uncle helps, my mom, my girlfriend. I mean, right from the top to the bottom, everybody helps. There's a lot of volunteer guys every week. There's 3 or 4 guys I actually pay to come to the racetrack. And, I mean, we do it as little as we possibly can, but we try to make the most of it.
Brian, I know you're proud of your brother Brad and what he's done and his accomplishments, but sometimes do you go, damn it, that should be me?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's tough seeing that. I mean, it's great for him, and that's great. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, he don't deserve that. No, he absolutely deserves it. I mean, we both come from the same deal where, you know, you struggle and you struggle and you struggle and you finally get something going for you, and that's awesome. And it's just makes me wish, man, if I was in that same situation when he was in it, maybe I could have been in that now. And I mean, it sucks that I'm not, but you know, it's life. You deal with it and you move on. And yeah, I really wish I could be in that similar situation, because I mean, it's about as good as you're going to get. So that's great for him. I really wish we could kind of get myself back to that point, or if I could drive for a team like Hendrick, I mean, that would be awesome. But that wasn't in a card, so we just started our own thing.
How long do you keep at this? I know you once told me this is all I know how to do. The racing with your dad, your mom. I mean, you ran the trucks as a family. You and Brad both drove those. I mean, this is it. I mean, what do you do? When does there come the point that Brian Keselowski says, I can't do this?
When my heart stops ticking. It's you know, I don't know how long that'll be, but my dad's nearing 60. My uncle's into his 60s now, and they're still doing it. And I can't see myself doing anything different. I don't know if I'd ever want to do anything different. I mean, there's times where you think, oh man, this is too hard, and then there's like, yeah, what would I do any different that'd be any easier? So, you know, racing's a whole different sport. It's a life. You can't just say, okay, I want to be a racer one day, because if you don't dedicate yourself fully into it and do everything in your life to racing, I mean, everything, it don't matter what it is, because we spend 36 weekends a year on the road. I mean, if you don't dedicate yourself, it's not going to work. But I don't know any different. I was born into racing. I was born into grandstands, and there I am, you know. So I've done this since, I've been working on race cars since I was 10 years old, and I don't think I'd know how to do anything different. I don't want to know anything different.
If someone says, hey, I'd like to help him out, how do they get in touch with you?
We have some PR guys that help us out, but mostly at just BrianKeselowski.com, and we can get through that website and, everything we can. I mean, we need everything we can get right now, but, we're going to continue on whether we get a sponsorship or not. But that would probably be the best way, or we can be contacted at the race shop through NASCAR.
Well, best of luck. You're from here in the area. I know your mom and dad, know Brad, known you all. I've got some pictures when you were all a little younger. We were all a little younger, but keep at it. I know this is what you want to do.
Absolutely. Like I said, I don't want to know any different. This is a really nice series to be in. I feel really respected when I come here, and I'm really proud to be in the NASCAR Nationwide Series.
Brian Keselowski finished 37th in points as a driver, having raced himself in 18 starts. Next up, ALMS Corvette C6R driver Johnny O'Connell, as we continue with the best of Pit Pass USA here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Want to join our pit crew? Are you a motorsports expert? Jump into the driver's seat and get your voice heard. To learn more about our broadcasting opportunities, contact us at 480-294-6417. That's 480-294-6417. Or email us at info@voiceamericanetwork.com. That's info@voiceamericanetwork.com. See it, breathe it, feel it.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Radio by George is a lifestyle program dedicated to improving the lives of listeners by focusing on the holistic growth of their mind, body, and spirit. Host Eddie George shares his life experiences as well as the experiences of his guest commentators and experts with the listening audience to focus them toward reaching their personal and professional goals. Tune in every Monday afternoon at 1 p.m. PST, 4 p.m. EST to Radio by George on the Voice America channel and learn more from the life experiences of a man who went from being a somewhat unruly kid in the streets of Philadelphia to a retired professional athlete who has become a role model for not only young people, but for businessmen and women globally. Plan to spend your Monday afternoons with Eddie George and his empowering talk radio show, Radio by George. That's every Monday at 1 p.m. PST, right here on the Voice America channel.
From IndyCar racing to powerboats, to Formula One and NASCAR, you're listening to PowerUpChannel.com, your motorsports channel.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
One of the most successful teams in the America Le Mans Series is the Corvette Racing Team. In 2009, they not only claimed another GT1 class title, but a six-class victory at the 24-hour Le Mans in June. I talked with co-winning driver of the 24 Hours, Johnny O'Connell, just before August ALMS race in Canada. The America Le Mans Series heading north of the border this weekend. They are up at Moss Part International Raceway, and the gentleman I'm about to talk to, this is the 11th time that he has raced there. He has won there six times. Johnny O'Connell from the Corvette C6R team. Johnny, welcome, and you're going to be looking forward to this weekend at Moss Part.
Yeah, you know what, Larry? I am so looking forward to it because we have so many amazing Corvette fans, that attend the race. But you know, my sport's magical. You know, the history of the place, how fast it is. It's, you know, I'd have to, you know, it's arguably, you know, to me, one of my favorite circuits in North America. And, you know, anytime you win at a racetrack, you start to like it. And then when, you know, you win there a lot, you like it a real lot. So, you know, Yann and I have been strong there. And, you know, the Canadian fans, it's funny, you know, I used to be teamed with Ron Fellows. And about 3 years ago, they made me an honorary Canadian citizen. So I'm honored with that. And hopefully we'll have a good run.
I thought maybe that was from drinking Molsons or Labatt's.
You know what? No, but I have went in my time, you know, with Ron, learned that a hockey stick is not just used for hockey. It can be used as a bottle opener. So, you know, that's something I think most Canadians know, though.
Yeah, Ron Fellows, anyone that has a hockey rink in his backyard in the winter, you know, is a true Canadian. You mentioned, Johnny, you're running with Jan Magnussen this weekend at Mossport. You two have been doing a great job, and you've got a brand new Corvette. You've gone from GT1 to GT2. I know there's going to be some early growing pains, but hey, you're coming off a podium at Road America.
Yeah, you know what? And the very first race, you know, Yan and I finished second. So an awesome debut, which really speaks more, you know, to the engineering staff, you know, at Corvette Racing, Pratt and Miller. You know, and then our race last week was sweet. I mean, just pushing so hard to compete against the Porsches. The, you know, the BMW's got a little bit of a break with a safety car, so, you know, they pretty much had one and two locked up. But I think it was like 20 minutes to go, and I was running fifth or sixth and worked our way up to third. So, you know, it's been great. And then, you know, having, you know, a teammate like Ian, you know, he's so strong, he's so fast, and, you know, the two of us work well together.
Johnny, outside of the 24 Hours of Le Mans the last several years, the two Corvette cars were basically battling themselves in the GT1 classification, and they're merging the classes together, and that's why the Corvette team went to the GT2 this season to really get ready for the run in 2010. But is it almost more fun now because you're going up against everybody instead of just teammates on the Corvette C6R team?
Well, you know what? There's some very cool things about, you know, believe it or not, when it was just the two Corvettes running against each other. Because, you know, at its most, you know, basic level, and the reason, you know, GM is so involved with this program, Chevrolet in particular, is that racing's about marketing. And, you know, even though it was us mostly racing ourselves, you know, we'd still have the longest, you know, lines, you know, for autographs, you know, the Corvette corrals always being full, and a serious return on their investment. So that made sense. Now for us as racers, we are so happy, you know, to be back out there and have guys to race against. I think a lot of people, you know, Paul Gianluigi is a character, a great guy, great in the runs, a great team, you know, and when he announced his deal with Jaguar, you know, he made the comment, well, all Corvette has been doing is beating up baby seals with the last couple of years. And, which I thought was pretty cool. But you know what? We have been racing each other so hard. And now to get out and bring that game, you know, to, up against, you know, the Ferrari guys, the Porsche guys, and the BMW guys, you know, we've been frothing at the mouth looking forward to this opportunity. And, you know, with our partners in Michelin, we know we have the right tires and again, with the Corvette, the right car to get the job done.
I'm not going to say that the Corvette team was not giving it 100% or 110% every week. I mean, Pratt and Miller is about 9 miles from my house, and I've been out there and looked at the race shop. It is incredible. But does the entire team get kind of a boost and re-energize now? They're going up against a Ferrari and a BMW and an Aston Martin and a Jaguar and a Panos and Ford and everyone week in, week out in the American Le Mans Series. I mean, okay, let's go out and beat all these guys.
Oh, yeah, you know what? The attitude amongst the team now, all right, the crew guys, completely different. You know, because, you know, we're much more a cohesive unit. And, you know, because, and those guys want to compete, you know. And so on a pit stop, you know, they are racing, you know, the other crews and trying to beat them. Now, one of the things that they're still trying to work out, we are the only team that is running, you know, E85. It's very important for Chevrolet, you know, to be green, to promote alternative fuels, all that kind of stuff. And so because we're, you know, E85, we get, you know, I think it's another 10 or 20 liters of fuel versus the other teams. You know, what's that mean? Well, that means it's a little bit more difficult for us at the beginning of the of a stint because we have more weight. But, you know, more importantly, as it relates to the crew guys, our pit stops right now, I think, are tick longer because of our fuel flow. We need to get a little bit, you know, faster fuel flow, I think, to match, you know, how long it takes to fill a BMW or Porsche. So, you know, but they are loving this challenge like nothing else. And, you know, they don't mind, you know, having to rebuff a car after a race to get some tire marks out of it as long as, you know, we're battling hard.
Time with Johnny O'Connell here on Pit Pass USA, one of the drivers in the Corvette C6R team. They're going to Motorsport this weekend where Johnny will be making his 100th series start in the American Le Mans Series. That's an incredible number, Johnny. Do you suddenly feel old?
No, you know, it's funny. You know, yes, I am the senior statesman at Corvette Racing. And, but you know what? I am digging this as much as when I was, you know, 24, 25 years old, you know, and now I just feel I'm a much more complete, more full, you know, driver, and, you know, able to see that, you know, not get caught up in battles, but make sure you win the war. And, you know, shoot, if I can stretch this career another 10 years, I'm gonna. I mean, I train as hard as I can, and, but yeah, 100, you know, that does seem like a lot. I had actually been to every ALMS, race and competed in them, until this year when we started doing the GT2 program. We missed, what did we miss? We missed, St. Pete, Miller Motorsports Park, and Lime Rock, but you know, now we got the ball rolling again, and so hopefully, you know, hopefully the day will come when I've hit 200 starts.
Johnny, how different is the GT2 car? One of the things that stood out to me going through the specs is you've gone from the carbon fiber rotors and brakes to steel rotors and composite brakes. To me, just being an outsider, when you talk to drivers, that makes a difference, does it?
Oh, it's enormous. It is really enormous. And there's a bit of an argument, you know, that takes place because, you know, they run the steel rotors because because they're closer to production. But also it's a cost thing. And, you know, if you look at the cost though throughout the season, if you're running carbon rotors and pads, you know, it's really insignificant compared, you know, to the steel rotors because you have to replace, you know, the steel rotors and stuff, a lot more. But as far as the performance capabilities, yeah, it's much different. I mean, you're pushing a lot harder on the brake pedal. You know, you don't have that attack that you do, you know, or feel that you do with carbon, you know, brakes and rotors. So, you know, we're adjusting to that. We're adjusting to a car with less downforce, you know, and less horsepower. But, you know, all of us are loving it because, you know, with a GT1 car, if you slid it at all, if the back end got out on you, man, it was hard. I mean, you'd look down at your dash and see that, man, I just lost 0.4 by, you know, letting the back end out there just because the recovery was so difficult. With a GT2 car, you slide and, man, it's just like, you know, it's like being on a dirt road. It's just, you know, too much fun. You can be pretty aggressive with the car, but, you know, getting used to the brakes, getting used to everything, you know, I think we've all adapted pretty quickly to it, and you know, we're just enjoying racing again.
Johnny, what's your outlook for this weekend at Motorsport? I mean, you've had so much success there. The drivers love the track. It's a quick track. The fans love it up in Canada. People down this stateside don't understand that the Canadian fans are just bonkers over auto racing. I've been up to Toronto and Vancouver and various places in the past, but what's your outlook this weekend?
Well, you know, again, it's difficult to say because, you know, yes, we've done well, you know, with our first two races, but you know what, we haven't run Motorsport. You know, we know there are certain areas of a racetrack where a Porsche does well. There's certain areas of a racetrack where the Ferrari does well, and you know, and the BMWs, you know, they're still very much you know, a question mark because, you know, they we're not certain. They're running a different tire manufacturer. They're the only, you know, top team that's not on the Michelins, so you don't know whether, you know, on a full stint, if there's not a yellow, are they going to fall off? What's going to happen to their performance? I mean, they're great on stickers. But yeah, I mean, they, you know, definitely turned it up the last two races and at, you know, Road America, they were very fast. So, you know, you go to, you know, we're at least some, you know, my approach to Motorsport is going there hoping that, you know, that we're going to do well. Maybe we'll get that first win. But if we don't, making, you know, darn sure that, or and knowing that, you know, we're going to come away with a lot of data that will be, you know, relevant next year, and hopefully, you know, in the remaining races this year.
Very quickly, is that what you're really looking at, getting prepared for the 24-hour Le Mans this season? Even though you want to, you want to compete in GT2, no question, but you look at the big enchilada next year?
Yeah, you know what? You can't help but not to. I mean, you know, Chevrolet is a global company. GM is a global company. And so, you know, one of the reasons that we, you know, that we do what we do is, you know, is because of the importance of that race. You know, real quick, you know, I remember, you know, in 1989, I went to the Indy 500 for the first time, and I'm talking to one of the top executives at Marlboro, and he's like, "This is the only reason we can do the entire IndyCar series. It's for this one race, and everything else is just getting ready for it." And in a way, that same approach, you know, holds through for us at Le Mans. I mean, the recognition that we get, you know, internationally from competing there, you can't put it into words. But then, you know, everything that we do in the American Le Mans series, you know, showing appreciation to every Corvette owner, you know, and every Corvette owner loves that we race. You know, they want, you know, that history and that technology transfer that takes place between the race team and production. You know, we haven't talked about that, but, you know, the race team and production work so closely together. You know, Corvette owners love it. So, you know, Le Mans is our Super Bowl, and we very much, you know, have in mind this year, okay, what do we need to do so that when we, you know, get to June next year, we're in position, you know, to beat Ferrari, to beat Porsche, BMW, and all that kind of stuff. So that's always in the back of your mind, but that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, shoot, if I have a hot rod, and hopefully I do at Mosport or Petite or Laguna that we can win with, man, you know, it's going to be veins in the teeth, drive as hard as you can to try to get that.
Well, Johnny, we wish you the best of luck this weekend at Mosport as you go in your 100th start and look for your 7th win up there. Good luck.
Thanks, Lair. I appreciate it.
Johnny O'Connell, Corvette C6R driver. Next up, 2-time Indianapolis 500 winner, Al Unser Jr. with the best of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry continues here on the Power Up Motorsports Channel. Everything Motorsports. See it. Breathe it. Feel it. PowerUpChannel.com.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
Are you ready for a program about extraordinary stories and the people who are living them? Tune in to The Soft Edge with your host, C.J. Hoffman. The topics discussed will change as much as the weather, if not more. These are the topics you will be and should be talking about at the office. Why spend time talking about idle gossip and empty facts when you could be talking about so many more interesting topics? Get your fill of The Soft Edge with C.J. Hoffman every Thursday at 12 noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on 7th Wave Network.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the 7th Wave Network.
You are on the inside track of motorsports drivers and teams. PowerUpChannel.com.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
The first family, if there is one, of the Indianapolis 500 has to be the Unsers. Al Sr. won Indianapolis 4 times, Brother Bobby 3, and Al Unser Jr. twice. Pit Pass USA caught up with Al Jr. in August during his introduction to the Motorsports Hall of Fame of America and talked to him about his life now
and to reflect back on his great IndyCar racing career.
What all you been doing these days? I know you still work with the IndyCar series.
Yep, I'm a driver coach slash official for the IRL. It's really something that I was very fortunate because my dad wanted to spend more time at the Unser Racing Museum in Albuquerque, and so basically I'm slid into his spot, and so I'm still following dad's footsteps, and it's great. It's a true blessing that I'm able to stay in racing and be able to give back to the sport that gave me so much.
Would it be hard to step away from the sport completely, one, being an announcer because it's in your blood, and secondly, from all the racing you've done over the years and the victories?
Yes, it was hard, you know, and it was tough to get out of the car. You know, I honestly get a lot of people asking me if I miss being in the car, and there's a lot of people that have come up and said they'd love to see me back in the car and all that, and my answer really is very simple. I don't miss being in the car, and until race day at Indy, and when I'm up in the race control and I'm looking down on the grid at Indianapolis on race day, I get that feeling back in me that, you know, that's, I'd rather be down on the grid. So
I always told people when I used to broadcast Indianapolis 500, the only time I got nervous was when they did Back Home Again in Indiana and the balloons. That was the only time all day I felt nervous at all, because it was such a special moment.
It is such a special moment before the start of that race. And I think, honestly, it's just the energy that 400,000 people are in one place at one time. And they're all anticipating the start. And so it's something that you truly have to be there in order to experience. And I went there in 1982 to see what the event was about, because I knew I was coming back in 83 as a driver. And I got, you know, the butterflies and all that kind of stuff and goosebumps and all that, and felt that energy. But then when I came back as a driver and I was walking out to the grid and so on, I didn't have that energy, you know, and what I had on my mind was the start of the race. And so now that, you know, I raced all those races and all those years, and then now when I go to the race and I'm not driving, I get that same feeling back again I think it's just that energy of anticipation of the start.
Your relationship with Rick Gallus when you first came to Indianapolis and wind up winning and all the things. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, it was, you two were kind of like simpatico. You couldn't have one without the other, it seemed, in those early days.
Yeah, it truly was. It was something that, you know, quite frankly, without Rick Gallus, you know, I don't know where my career would have gone, if it would have even gone anywhere. You know, I was very, very lucky and fortunate to have a man and a family from my hometown, Albuquerque, New Mexico, that shared the same desire and will to go and compete at the Indy 500. And you know, Rick took me to Indianapolis, and we, you know, I drove Super V's for him, and then we drove Can-Ams, and then we went to Indy, and it was just, you know, there was something about Rick and I. You know, we were born on the same day, April 19th. Different years, of course, but same day. And so he was very, very good, and it was great.
What did that win, beating Scott Goodyear by, what was it, 16,000? I should remember this, because I remember Bob Jenkins screaming it pretty loud that day at the very end of the race. But what did that mean, not only for you, but maybe for Indianapolis? Because it got a lot of attention from everybody. I mean, here's a 500-mile race that comes down to half a race car.
It meant everything. I mean, that was you know, what we were striving to do. It was really the the one race, you know, I drove all the different race cars I drove was to be a better race car driver at the Indy 500. And as my career progressed and racing in Indy cars, you know, it took me 10 years to win Indy. And so I was racking up wins in other racing, you know, the 24 Hours of Daytona, the IROC series, Long Beach, you know, in the Indy cars. And the one race that I wanted so bad kept eluding me. And then when we finally got it in 92, it was in the Valvoline car. It was with Rick Gallus. I mean, everything was right about it. And so it was a true gift.
Well, I know you were rejoicing in it and the great races you had. And I always look at the one you lost when you were racing Emerson Fittipaldi, because I knew when you guys were going into turn three that day, either none of you were coming out, one of you was coming out, or both of you were coming out. There wasn't anybody going to live.
I was truly surprised, you know, that he actually saved it. I mean, when you look at the photos, you know, he's got that thing crossed up. And, you know, unfortunately, I was the one that was on the outside. And you're right. It was coming down to the end, and it was not just a race. It was the Indy 500. And so, you know, I understood that on both of our parts, because neither one of us had won it. And so we were going after our first win, and we both wanted it really bad. But unfortunately, you know, it was unfortunate for me, but fortunate for Emo.
Now, the story I got was when they redid the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and raised the walls for NASCAR, you got part of that wall in the third turn and the observer stand, and I think someone said you even got the light that was on the wall.
That's correct, yeah. We got about 80 feet of it, Tony George was kind enough to let me have it, and so we've got it in front of the Unser Racing Museum in Albuquerque there. So.
I heard that story, and I go, did he really? I mean, I'm not sure I'd want something to remind me of a day like that, even though it was a great race and a great moment.
Well, it was kind of funny because Dad, when I was very proud of it, you know, and because it's, you know, it's a piece of history, and so when I set it up in front of my house in Albuquerque, and I invited my dad to come down and look at it, I go, "What do you think?" And he goes, "It gives me a headache looking at it," you know. And I go, "Well, you're not supposed to remember the crashes. You're supposed to remember how many times did you drive by it?" And he goes, "A lot." And I, well, then there you go, you know. So, but yeah, it was. It was awful kind of Tony and to let me have it.
Now, you talked about the museum, the Unser Museum. Talk a little bit about that for people that don't know about it. What all have you got down? There's got to be a lot between just you, your dad, and your Uncle Bobby.
It is. There's a lot from the whole family, not just the three of us, but my grandpa and then Uncle Jerry, who was the first one to Indianapolis, and Uncle Louie, and it really, the whole reason for the museum there in Albuquerque is to tell about the story of the Unser family, where we began and how we got to Indy. And so it all went through Pikes Peak, and that's really where the Unser family was discovered, and that's really where they started racing, you know. Pikes Peak is the second oldest race in the United States, and the Unsers have a lot of victories going up that road. And so it's just something that it truly does tell the story of the Unser family.
Well, hopefully a lot of people have stopped by. I'm a big buff in remembering how we got to where we are today, and the Unsers obviously are a very big part of that. Again, you're looking great. I'm glad things are going well, and best of luck.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Al Unser Jr. I hope you enjoyed this look back at some of the highlights of this season on Pit Pass USA. As you heard from Brad and Brian Keselowski, Johnny O'Connell, and Al Unser Jr.
To help make BitPass USA even better as we head to 2010, please email me with your comments and suggestions to LarryHenry@BitPassUSA.com. The show is for you, and your input is invaluable in shaping its content. You can also find us on Facebook with our BitPass USA with Larry Henry fan page. If you're on Twitter, we're there too, at PitPassUSA, gets you directly in touch with me. And if you'd like to find out what's on my mind between shows or see what has me climbing onto my soapbox, check out my blog at www.exhaustfumes.wordpress.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week here on PitPass USA, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Power Up Motorsports Channel.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.